Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 6 here in this place, and please stand.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our service today. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Welcome to be with us. Welcome. Anybody else? For announcements today, the bulletin is fairly full. A couple I'd like to highlight. Louise Lage is still in Seven Oaks Hospital recovering from her illness. Visitors are welcome. And please keep the family in your prayers as her recovery continues. Lizzie's at Camp Assiniboia this week, and Pastor Marv and Cheryl are away on a holiday. They're back next week. And please remember our food bank. It continues to operate even while we are not so much. And there's a beautiful piece of paper in your bulletins talking about the food that they need the most. Please read the other announcements. And also, I guess this would be a time for sharing if anyone has something to share with us. We have a microphone. I don't see anybody, though. Oh.
My niece, Janet Cron from Riverville, passed away on Friday. She had been on life support, and the whole family had been there on Friday, and when they took it off, she was gone within an hour. Keep my brother and my sister-in-law in their prayers, especially my brother. He is in St. Peter Hospital and not doing very well, so they haven't even planned the funeral as yet.
I am Adina Peters, and my sister Judy Urbanus is married to Wayne. And on Friday, Wayne's had surgery. He had a growth in his back, that they were worried about, and so they went in and they took it out, and the operation that was supposed to be 8.5 hours was only 7 hours, so it went very, very well. And yesterday he was up walking to the end of the room, and then he went down the hall a bit, so he's doing well. Thank you. Just keep her in your prayers.
Anybody else? It is now time for the children's story. If there's any kids, please come up.
Good morning. Jacob and Astrid's mom is going to preach today about a book called Hebrews. And Hebrews is one of those books that's actually a letter. It's a letter. I don't know who wrote it. I forgot. I took check. But today we're going to be talking about how Jesus was the first and only one to come from heaven and live on earth. He's called a pioneer. Does anyone know what a pioneer is? We used to have pioneer girls. Does anyone know what a pioneer is? A pioneer is someone who does the first thing. So Jesus was the first one to come from heaven and live on earth. And he did that so that we could see how to do this. So he is our example. And he was perfect. And because he came down, we are now part of God's family. So he was like us, and now we are like him. It's pretty kind of a complicated idea for us to remember. But what you need to know is that Jesus was perfect. He came down to show us how to be, and now we're part of his family with God. All right? So you can try and listen when I'm pretty sure Elizabeth is going to explain it better than I did. So it doesn't matter what your earthly family is like. We have a heavenly family that we belong to, and this family is our family for forever. So can we bow for prayer? Thank you, God, that Jesus came down from heaven so that we could become children of God. Help us to follow Jesus so that we can be perfect. Amen. You guys can sit with your parents again.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 434, Umamina.
Join me in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for this time together. Summer is here, and it's so nice to be outside enjoying your creation. Whether it is being at the lake, walking through parks in the city, or just sitting in our yard, it's wonderful to be outside. Please help us to feel your presence. We thank you for the slower pace that many of us get to enjoy in the summer. It's nice to take this opportunity to recharge. We know that not everyone is able to take advantage of this time to rest because they are busy with work or personal issues. Please be with them and give them your peace. We also know that many people are struggling with health issues, which take a lot of their time and energy. These issues can include aging, mental health problems, physical disabilities. Please be with them as they work through their difficulties. Our news is full of stories about how people hurt and cheat each other. Please also be with the victims to help them deal with their problems. And also be with the people doing these acts. Help them to see that your way is a much better way to live and that they can change their ways. Please don't let us dwell on the bad things that are happening as there are so many more good things for us to be thankful for. Volunteers in schools and personal care homes. People who work hard to do the best job they can. People who smile and say hi to others as they meet on the street. These acts of kindness add up and are important. Please be with us in the coming week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's now time for the offering. Reading today is from Hebrews 2, verses 10 to 18. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the offer of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, He had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Good morning. So my family and I were at Folk Festival yesterday, and it's very nice to be in the air conditioning today. It was very hot yesterday, and we found ourselves just hiding in the shade for most of the day. In the morning, we were at a stage where they were doing a Pete Seeger tribute. If anyone's familiar with Pete Seeger. And one of the groups was playing, it was great bluegrass folk song. It was kind of gospel-y, and I was really enjoying it. And then I started listening to the lyrics, and it said, "Mary, don't weep no more. Pharaoh's army is drowned." And I thought, what does Mary have to do with Pharaoh's army? It didn't really click for me, and so for the rest of the song, I couldn't really enjoy it because I kept thinking about the theology of this song was completely off. And then later in the evening, they were on the main stage, and the band played the song again, and I couldn't enjoy it. And Phil thought maybe they were trying to talk about Miriam, but I thought that was a stretch, and so I thought it was a good lesson for me to always listen to the lyrics of what I'm listening to. The melody might be nice, but you got to listen to the message as well. So on to the sermon. We had a joke about the type of food my mom used to make for lunch on Sundays. The joke was that it was likely something that started with the letter P. Pasta, pierogies, pizza, pickerel, pancakes, shepherd's pie, panzit. That last one, panzit, may not be familiar to most of you, but it's a tasty Filipino noodle dish my mom learned to make from one of her co-workers. 7 P words. In this passage, 3 P words stuck out for me. My version's a little bit different than the one that James read, so I'll read that for you. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. So there's the perfect, the pioneer, and the priest. I had a hard time with this passage as a whole. At first glance, it seemed to me that Lizzie had stolen my sermon topic for her sermon last week. Suffering was supposed to be my thing to talk about. I mean, she had a great story about suffering on her hiking trip, but her Bible passage didn't mention suffering once, and mine mentions it twice. But actually, if I'm being completely honest, at first glance, I didn't even know what I was reading. This passage is so wordy and academic, I couldn't quite see the point of it. When I read that the book of Hebrews was most likely written by a man named Apollos, who, Astrid's student Bible tells me, was a Jewish Christian with distinct intellectual and language communication abilities, I realized why this passage was so confusing. Apollos was probably one of those guys who is smart and wants to make sure you know it too, by using as many big words and convoluted arguments as possible. This isn't some feel-good letter from your friend who you haven't seen in a while. This book is more of an academic paper or a sermon than it was a letter. It was written to win an argument, to prove a point. It was written to try to convince the readers of the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus Christ as the revealer
and mediator of God's grace. Those readers were Jewish Christians who were starting to think about abandoning their faith in the face of mounting persecution. I have never been persecuted for my faith. All my major places of work have been Christian-based organizations. I went to a Christian high school and college, and while my elementary school wasn't overtly Christian, I knew that all my classmates, except two, went to Mennonite churches. And that school, till this day, has a nativity scene in their Christmas pageant because it's the German cultural component. I have never been to a place where my religion was in the minority, nor had to justify my faith as if my life depended on it. I can't imagine the pressure that kind of persecution would have on my faith. Would it make me stronger? Or would I be tempted to turn away from my faith to make my life and my family's lives easier? Apollos wants to convince the reader that Jesus is worthy of their trust and faith. So let's look at the first P word, perfect. We watched the new Mary Poppins movie on Friday night, and it reminded me of a song in the original movie where Mary declares herself practically perfect in every way. The phrase practically perfect may apply to a fictional movie character, but it certainly doesn't apply to a real human being. Perfect is definitely not a word that could be applied to me or any other human. We are perfectly imperfect. As Christians, we strive to live our lives in imitation of Jesus. But what pale imitations we are. We fall short of the perfection of Jesus. When we suffer and face temptation, we give in. We sin. We want vengeance on those who caused our sufferings. Or we go to great lengths to avoid suffering of any kind. And we certainly aren't suffering for our faith. But it's okay that we aren't perfect. We should strive to live as Jesus, and we should also give ourselves as much grace as God gives us when we fall short of that lofty goal. Jesus suffered and remained perfect. He was tempted and did not sin. This makes him the perfect sacrifice for our sins. The word pioneer makes me think of Little House on the Prairie. Phil said I should think of a time when I was a pioneer and share about that. And I thought, I am not a pioneer of anything, but then I realized that wasn't true. I was a pioneer for Jesus. Put your hands up if there are any other ladies who know what I'm talking about. Just one, oh, there's a few more. Does this ring a bell? We are pioneers for Jesus. I won't sing anymore, but I could sing the whole song, believe me. It is burned into my memory. I'm talking, of course, of Pioneer Girls Club that used to run in my church when I was a girl, or our church. It was a wonderful time about learning about Jesus and spending time with friends. As a girl, I imagined the song meant something like Little House on the Prairie. And when I sang those words, I imagined myself wearing a bonnet and boldly striding out onto the open prairie. In my imagination, I would also be wearing my red sash, which would be covered in badges. In reality, I didn't earn that many badges, but I'm fairly certain that's not what the song was encouraging me to do. The theme song's words said, "We are pioneers for Jesus," but in this passage, it reminds us that it's Jesus who is the pioneer. Jesus laid the foundation for our salvation, and without Jesus, we would not be Christians. We would not have the hope of reconciliation with God. Jesus is leading us in a way no one has gone before. He is making the way for us in the wilderness. This is the only book in the Bible where Jesus is described as a high priest. Four times in Hebrews is Jesus described this way. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Hebrews 3:1-2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in God's house. Hebrews 4:14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. And Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." This high priest imagery would be immediately recognizable to the Jewish readers of this letter. The high priest interceded to God on behalf of the people and made offerings to atone for the people's sins. Jesus is the perfect high priest. He is the perfect offering that atones for all our sins and allows us to be sanctified, made holy, and enter into relationship with God. My sermon could also have been called Sanctified Suffering and Sacrifice, or rather, Suffering, Sacrifice, and Sanctified, because it's through Jesus's pioneering suffering as a human that he became a perfect sacrifice for our sins, and as a high priest sanctified us and reconciled us with God. Did you notice what I did there? I combined all the points into one super point sentence. Pioneering suffering leading to perfect sacrifice equals high priest sanctification. Now who's acting like they know they're smart and trying to prove it with convoluted arguments? I can suddenly relate to the author of Hebrews. Perfect Savior, pioneer of faith, sanctifying high priest. Jesus is all of those things and more. But what is most amazing is that he claims us as brothers and sisters, family members, and he is not ashamed to call us family. I'm going to read Hebrews 2:11-13. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Here I am and the children whom God has given me." Despite all our flaws and weaknesses, Jesus claims us as family. We are not the embarrassing distant cousin who doesn't quite fit in. We are not part of the extended family you only see at Christmas. We are brothers and sisters, and we share a loving family. God so loved the world, us, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to save us, to sanctify us, make us holy, as only a real high priest could do, so that we might be in relationship with God as a family. And this is the grace extended to everyone, even your embarrassing distant cousin who doesn't quite fit in, or the person you have written off because they don't agree with your worldview. God has not written them off. God makes a space for them in his family, just as she makes a space in it for you. Verse 18 says, because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. If you are in a place where maybe you feel like you're that embarrassing distant cousin who doesn't fit in, remember, Jesus is claiming you as family. You are worthy to join God's family. You don't have to be perfect to join in. You don't have to be a pioneer. And you definitely don't need to be a high priest. That's Jesus' role, a role he took on for us. Our job is to place our faith in Jesus and follow where he is leading. Let's pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 545, Be Thou My Vision, and we will sing all five verses.
Stand for the benediction and remain standing for the final song. As you leave this place, remember that you do not go alone. God is close at hand. He hears the cry of all who call on His name. He honors those who honor Him, listening to their prayers and coming to their aid. So go from here with joy and confidence to love and serve God and one another.
Looks like we still have lots of time, so let's sing all six verses of number 421, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Oh,